Horror Squad, and today we are talking about It, the book, the 90s series, and the new movies. Joe, what are your feelings about It? How are we going to transition to this?
I don't know. That was really good, though.
Thank you. I suppose we could try going chronologically, which is not actually a thing in the fucking book. Start at the beginning and go from there.
Yeah, I just want to say I didn't read the book, so that's all you.
Yep, it sure is. So I can point out differences. I'm going to pull up my my notes here.
See, I'm going completely off memory because I don't prepare for anything.
I was mostly making notes, what I remembered being different.
Yes.
So one of the first things that struck me when we were rewatching the new It from 2017 mm-hmm. is the piano music. In the book, when Georgie goes off on his own, one thing that Bill talks about and mentions is his mom playing the piano, which is something that is in all of the versions. I just have no idea what music that actually was. So that is no helpful commentary there from me, but it's a thing.
So they don't mention it like in the book?
I think they did, but since it was actually in the beginning, I just don't remember it at all. It was something classical, probably. Speaking of beginnings, in the book, it starts with the very first phone call, which mm-hmm. was Mike to Stan. And in comparison to the movies, Stan, I think, is always the last person to get called. But
oh, really?
Yep. So in the book, that's right off the bat is a very long introduction about Stan and who he is and his family. Well, not really his family, but his marriage to this other Jewish chick who is very, man, does King like to talk about anti-Semitism, but like slurs everywhere. Holy shit. Yeah. He's like, I have a minority. Better break out the slurs. So yeah, it kind of, it's, I don't know if I'd say sad, but the way his wife finds it is I can't remember which version was most similar to it. She like grabs a beer to bring up to him, and what's strange and strikes her is that the door is locked, which I don't think is in either of the movie versions. But she pretty much had to find the key, and there's all this internal dialogue and stuff about how messed up it is, but maybe he forgot it or something, but what then, why wouldn't he be answering her and stuff like that? So it's very dramatic.
Yeah, because I remember when we watched the movies, they walked right in.
Yeah. I mean, probably because it might have been good for like a little bit of suspense, but overall I think that's something fine to be cut from the movies.
Yeah, I don't think anything was lost with that.
Right. You're missing some bit of suspense, but it's a long-ass book and a long-ass bunch of movies.
For sure, especially that second one.
And Bill, I think, in the movies, he was usually the first that usually got called, but he was the last in the book. And unlike in the movies, he actually, like, sits down with Audra to actually, like, talk about his past and stuff like that. He's like, you knew I had a brother, but what I didn't tell you is that he was murdered. And she's like, oh. And he's like, yeah, because I just remembered that now, so I have to go home to Derry. And overall, he's a lot cooler. Well, I'm not going to say that. He's kind of better.
Less lame.
He's better and worse to Audra in the book. Because later on, when Bev and him kind of get together... Mm-hmm. And like the films, I think they just kiss. I can't remember if they do in the 90s version, but they just shared like a little kiss in part two. But in the book,
I don't think they did in the 90s one.
Yeah, it might have just been like a glance or something. But in the book, he straight up is like, if I'm going to cheat on Audra, I'm going to go the whole way. We're just going to fuck.
Oh my
God. So they fuck.
Oh, they go all the way in the book.
They go all the way. And oh my God. She's like, it's not cheating to me because my husband is a shitlord.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to like pressure you into anything or trick you into doing something. And he's like, no, it's cool. And I'm like, all right, Bill, the fuck?
I was going to say, she's barely even a character in chapter two. Like, I think you just see her on the movie set and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
She had a little bit more in the 90s miniseries where she like, they do the whole thing at the end with the bike and all. She's there.
Yeah, even that. That actually, overall, I think the 90s version is a lot more faithful to the actual book. Like, they take dialogue straight from the book and scenes. Like, one that pops out of my mind is when Bev comes out of her old apartment, she just kind of stares at it in the middle of the street like a goddamn moron. And she feels a balloon brush up against her leg. That's in the book. And that's in the 90s version. So that was cool. But overall, when it comes to tone and actually being scary, I feel like the new movies definitely do a better job with that and with the characters.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because I don't like Bev in the old movies, and she's kind of in the book. New Bev is a lot better, in my opinion.
King's not really known for writing women well.
Yeah, they have two personality traits, and that's domestic violence and sex.
Yes.
That's how King writes women.
Exactly. I was going to say, you mentioned you were going to break down like the character differences.
Right. So the glaring one that I'm thinking of is, as an adult, Bill is bald or balding. Like, I can't remember if it mentioned him having like a Friar Tuck look or not, but like in both versions, he has film versions, he has like glorious hair, stupid ass ponytail in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, he's got that full on hipsters 90s ponytail rocking thing going
fucking
on.
Fucking yuppie.
Yeah, full on. It's hilarious. It's like wrapped with twine or something, too. That bothered me the entire time we were watching it.
Fucking pretentious ass writer shit. Another thing is Richie Tozier. When he grows up, he gets rid of his glasses for the most part. It's actually kind of a big thing that he stopped wearing glasses and started wearing contacts. That's a thing in the 90s version, but in the part two, he just kind of wore his glasses all the time, which I suppose was fine. Bill Hader looks good in glasses. Uh-huh. But him having especially as a kid, he had like horned rimmed glasses, and I'm like, that's adorable, Richie. But yeah, he hated his specs, and there's a point when all of the losers come back as adults, they kind of go off after the Chinese restaurant, they kind of go off on their own to find, and in the new version they like said they were looking for tokens or something. That's kind of in the same vein, but it wasn't as specific. So they just kind of went off to kind of remember stuff about their first meetings with it and things like that. And for Richie, he had his experience by the Paul Bunyan statue, which attacked him and stuff like that both times. And he, like, his eyes were burning. So he had to blink out his contacts. He was freaking out because they might not come out and he'd be stuck in them or something like that. It was kind of funny. But so that's another thing. I mean, Audrey and Bev are said to look a lot alike, which is weird.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, in either movie version, they don't really look like each other. They just have red hair, which I guess makes sense. Let's see. That's pretty much the only things that really come to mind. Otherwise, the relationships got kind of changed around, sort of. Mm-hmm. I know in the 90s version, Eddie wasn't married and he's still a 30-year-old virgin, but in the book and in the new version, they keep his wife. He's got a wife and they're trying for babies and stuff like that. I think I can't remember if it was the new version or the book that And he's like, no, we don't use condoms. I think, actually, I think a lot of the Losers Club was like, no, we don't use protection.
Kiss me, fat boy.
What about, like, the Bowers gang? Because I feel like there's a lot of differences there.
Oh, yeah. Between... Yeah, most of Bowers gang is kind of described as being... like taller, chunkier lads. Oh, what is the baseball kid's name? I have clearly remembered nothing of names anyway. Patrick is one I remember, yeah. But he was a lot stockier than the skinny kid they chose for the new movie. I don't even remember any of his gang in the frickin' 90s version aside from Henry looking like a Danzig reject.
They all look the same. They all are just really a did. Bunch of greasers with the same hair and the same jacket. It's hard to tell them apart. But it was like Patrick, Henry, Belch, and I can't remember the last one's
that's
name.
His fucker's name.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that I really remember. Belch is a bigger kid who's like his huge thing was being able to burp words in the alphabet and baseball, I guess. He was a really good baseball player and wore stuff. And in the book, when Henry is getting all these visions of his friends and stuff, it kind of goes between both Patrick and Belch and whatever the other friend was, if there was another one.
There was a third one.
Yeah, I can't remember his name right now. In the new movie, I think that was mostly Patrick. Patrick's corpse or whatever, because
yes,
they don't.
We only saw Patrick's in the new movie.
Yeah, because he's pretty much the only one that actually died, I think, in the new movie. Because when Henry comes back, you see him kill his dad and then go out, but you don't see his friends again.
Well, there's a deleted scene where you see when he's sitting outside of the house when they're all when the kids are going in, the losers. It like shows his car, and then there's like an extra part of the scene where it goes in, and he's got the corpses of his friends in there with him.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's different.
Yeah. I assumed he killed them anyways because he has the car, and that wasn't his car. It was, I think it was Belch's car. So I just assumed he murdered them too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I think in the 90s and in the book, they come in there with him, and then it kills them. Yeah. I can't remember what actually specifically happens to them in the books, but they're dead. in the sewers.
Yeah, I read a little bit into it. Like I haven't read the book, but I'm going off what you told me, and I remember researching it and like reading Wikipedia and shit because I'm lazy. But I think he takes the form of Frankenstein's monster at one point and kills one of them in the sewers.
Yeah, he rips. I can't remember if it was Belch or the other one. It wasn't Patrick, I don't think.
No, Patrick dies by the leeches in the book, I think, right? Isn't he the leech kid?
Yes, after the hand job scene.
Yes. That didn't make it into any of the movies.
No, thankfully. Although yes. I do kind of wish that we had a scene of them lighting their farts.
Yes, that would be amazing.
I feel like that might have fit into the part two's comedic feel to it, but I understand why they cut it out. Kind of wish they did.
Yeah.
So yeah, Patrick got killed by the leeches, which were actually... Okay, so I'm going to talk about Patrick a little bit.
There's a lot to say about him.
There's a lot to say about fucking Patrick. you can kind of see it in the new movie. Like, for example, when Henry is carving into Ben, you see Belch and the other one kind of getting iffy about it, but Patrick's all there for it. It's because Patrick is a sociopath. He thinks that he is the only person who is real. And that's why he was really freaking out about dying in the book, is because if he dies, everybody else dies. And it's really kind of creepy. And he was, the fart scene and the hand job scene happen in the junkyard, which is kind of by the Barrens or in them. I don't know the layout, I guess. But it's like he had a refrigerator in the junkyard that he would keep animals to die.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was him or another kid in the book that like killed a younger sibling.
I think it was him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was him. That's where it kind of started.
There's like, he had like a new baby brother or something come into the family. And he didn't like the way that his parents were kind of ignoring him. Yeah, with the crying, and his parents weren't like completely obsessed with him anymore. So he smothered the baby, and then went down to eat like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something.
Holy shit.
Right. And then the cops said he was just in shock, and that's how he got away with that. And I think the actual, they claimed it was just like, you know, a baby suffocating in the crib. I forget what that's called, but it's like a phenomenon.
The crib death.
Yeah. So that's how he got away with that. But he liked the feeling of killing something. So he would take animals around the neighborhood, like cats and dogs and birds and stuff, and put them in the fridge for days on end until they died.
Holy shit.
Right. And there is... the way it got involved was, I think he found like a pigeon or something and he was doing that. But a day after he put it in there, it got all these nasty maggots and it bugs. And it started eating him. And then he ran into the woods. And Bev is watching this entire time. She was watching the farts. She was watching the hand job, commenting on their penis sizes. Really awkward.
Oh, Jesus.
And the entire time... she calls them thingies, and I'm like, okay, she's like 11. I understand, but also no. They're 11! Well, she's 11. Bauer's gang is like more like 12. Which is still fucked up.
I just picture King fucked up on cocaine in the 80s, sitting at his fucking typewriter, coming up with this shit. It's just...
you know what this book needs! You know what this book needs? It needs an 11-year-old's very large schlong, and I'm going to let everybody know about it.
The world needs
this. Two fucking times in this book, he has to describe how large a child's penis is, and I'm like, for fuck's sake, can we get on with this? And of course, I was listening to an audiobook, and the way the website was, it was, I couldn't just skip.
Yeah.
So I had to sit through that twice. Okay, so yeah, he got eaten by the bugs, and I guess they kind of had the same idea in the movies, but at least because in the new one he had like his little flamethrower thing going on, so I guess that was kind of a vague, extremely I'm reaching here, vague reference to the farts, which were like got up to like over 12 feet long. I don't know if that's scientific or not, but
it's impressive. See, I was kind of thinking like with the flamethrower thing, that kind of, to me, that came across more like a little bit of a hint towards his like more cruel nature you get in the books.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's like, just that. Yeah, I'm reaching too with that, but I mean, that's like, and I think
kids were down to fucking murder. Like, I don't know what's with the 80s and like, you know what? I'm feeling a little homicidal today.
Yeah, they were just, especially in the 90s one, they were all down for like going into the sewers and killing them. They were like all for that.
Yeah, I don't know. The fuck? So I was going to say one difference that came to in mind from the new movies is they kind of changed around some parents' roles too. In the new one, Henry's dad is a cop, but in the 90s, they kept him as what does he actually do? Actually, I don't really remember him in the 90s. I don't think he showed up, did he?
His dad?
Yeah.
No, he never did show up. Wait. Okay.
I might be mixing him up with Bev's dad, who's also
I was about to say that. Yeah, because they made Bev's dad like the janitor at the school. In the 90s one.
As opposed to being the gender at the hospital, I think, in the book. But no, Henry's dad is a farmer, and he had like I'm not going to say rivalry, because it's mostly him just attacking Mike's family, because he's a racist piece of shit.
Yeah.
But he like, because, both film and both, yeah, both film versions, they just fucking throw Mike to the curb. I'm kind of mad about it.
Yeah, no, they really do. They give him nothing to do.
Give him nothing. And the 90s, in the very least, gave him the, they kept his research-y role with the photo album and stuff like that, but they just completely gave that to Ben for some reason. And Ben's whole thing was that he was really good at, like, engineering, kind of. Like, the dam, which they cut out of the new version. But he completely, like, figured out how to make a dam, and he's, like, 11. Pretty, I mean, it's more than just stacking up sticks, I guess. And then he also created built the clubhouse and figured out how to not have that collapse on them and stuff.
And that leads into, like, as him as an adult becoming an architect and all that.
Right, right.
And that's completely missing from the first chapter one.
It really is.
He's just he's just like the bookworm in that.
Yeah, which he kind of is in the book. He likes to spend time in the library because he has no friends. But yeah, another thing that's different in the movies and the book is his the not the poem itself, but the reason he makes it and how to send it and stuff like that. In the book, they studied haikus in class or something, so he wanted to practice that and also have a cheesy love letter to Bev, and then he immediately sends it because it's like an anonymous postcard thing, like a pen pal thing within the library or something like that. And he didn't really care because it was anonymous, so he just kind of sent it. But in both versions, I think it has him keeping it, and I think in the new one, Richie saw it first, or maybe that was the 90s. I remember one of the losers saw it, and he tried to hide it or something before she got it.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was now.
I want to say Richie.
It feels like Richie, yeah.
It seems like a Richie thing to do.
It's totally a Richie thing to do. He's that kind of little shit.
Right. Oh, another thing, looking at my notes, Georgie wasn't missing. That is something that the new version created to kind of give them a reason to explore the sewers and the barrens, even though it's just kind of their hangout. I mean, not the actual sewers, but no,
Georgie's area around there.
Yeah, Georgie's body was found in the street without an arm, and it takes a moment to note that in his little coffin, he can't have his hands nicely folded because he only has one.
Oh,
yeah, it's kind of sad.
Poor fucking kid.
Right. Also, in the new movies, Pennywise is a lot scarier, in my opinion, and a lot more, something that you mentioned to me, he's a lot more like a creature pretending to be human rather than just a wise kraken clown.
Yeah, that's what I always got from it. You could see it the best in that opening scene when he kills, I can't think of the kid's name all of a sudden. He just said it.
Richie?
Richie.
Oh, Richie. No.
No, not Richie.
Georgie.
Georgie. I can't believe I forgot that. When he kills Georgie, that whole sequence, if you compare it to the 90s one.
Yeah.
It's where he's Tim Curry in the sewer and he's cracking wise. And he's kind of you can kind of see a kid kind of stopping to talk to that. I mean, within reason, right. No actual kid would, but I mean,
I don't remember if I would talk to clowns in the sewers as a kid. I might.
Well, that's your problem then. No, but because then you compare it to this one and it's he's talking to him and you can kind of tell he doesn't really want to talk to him because there's that moment where he just spaces out.
Right.
Where he just stops talking. Drooling. And yeah, he starts drooling and George is I gotta go now.
Right. One thing that is similar throughout all of them is the way Pennywise kind of worms his way into making friends, more or less. You know, the kids are always I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. And he's my name's Pennywise. Pennywise, yes. Georgie. There, now we're not strangers anymore. Though in the book, he does introduce himself as Bob Gray first. Yes. I don't know why. There's, like, no real... You can kind of see in the new movie, there's kind of something underneath that.
They hint at it more.
Yeah, there's, like, the scene in part two in Bev's apartment with the clown makeup he's putting on in the traveling circus thing. And the traveling circus thing. What the fuck is it called? Box.
Oh.
Train box, yeah. Car thing.
Yeah.
There's shit
the wagon.
There. The wagon, yeah. And I don't know what.
Yeah, there's it like... Does it like it doesn't hint at it at all in the book, right? Other than him calling himself Bob Gray.
No, the only thing that kind of feels like something different is the thing that Bev encounters in her apartment. But again, I kind of have a theory that's not actually Pennywise. Should we skip to that theory?
Might as well. Yeah, okay. Let's do that, because I'm interested in this, too, because you told me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so in the book, and also, I can't remember how accurate it was in the 90s version, but I know they had the pronunciation correct in the new movie, where the old lady calls Pennywise her fodder, but in the book, I think she actually says something along the lines of, "My fodder was also my mutter," and... Hmm. Nothing about it, like, I don't think the clown actually shows up. I kind of want to re-listen to that scene again, because I'm not 100% on that, but it's kind of feels like to me hints that there's another creature besides Pennywise.
Like, yeah.
So in the book, he's he's a very pregnant spider who's about to give birth, and that is... kind of cosmically the reason the quote-unquote turtle didn't actually do shit, but that's beside the point. Turtle god or whatever, I think, finally got a bunch of kids together to take down Pennywise, because he was about to lay a bunch of spidery eggs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Which is not present in either version, I believe.
No.
Yeah, I kind of think that there it already gave birth to something, at least. But that theory doesn't exactly hold up water, because at the end of the book, it very much seems like everything is better and everything's done. but I want to believe.
There is, because I know King likes to connect his works and always like references them a lot. And I can't remember what book it was. He did reference it. It was in a later book. I think it was in Dreamcatcher. There's a reference, because there's a part where they're at Derry or around there, and one of the characters is in the sewers, and he makes note there's like a piece of graffiti on the wall that says Pennywise lives.
Ooh!
So there is that.
It also feels like it kind of hints that there is a gang of ruffians that are obsessed with the clown that are making, at least I want to believe.
Yes, it could be them too, but yeah, but I mean, I like that. I like that kind of connecting tissue.
Yeah, I like that idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the turtle.
Yeah, because it's turtle, because I'm not super, super familiar with a lot of like King's work. I know like the turtle plays more with into the gunslinger stuff.
Right. I haven't read or seen any of relating to that. So I don't really know much about the macroverse or anything like that.
No. I know that goes way more into that and like connects a lot of that stuff.
Right. But, so cosmically speaking, there's the turtle and there's it, which are in the macroverse. There's probably other stuff too. And stuff beyond that which it came from or something like that. There's also God? ? So the turtle doesn't actually do jack shit. You kind of see it.
Yeah. No, that's what I wanted to bring up, because I've heard about this turtle forever.
No, it does nothing.
Yeah. Like, I'm disappointed.
Honestly, because you see it as a lot of symbolism, both in the movies and in the book. You see turtles here and there. And even in the book, I remember at one point Bill is walking and he sees a turtle chalk picture on the ground and stuff like that. So it's there, but he doesn't do anything. The turtle coughed up the universe. That's how we were created. It hasn't actually done anything. It's kind of like the god that doesn't interfere with the lives of mortals or whatever. And it likes to, and it as in Pennywise, likes to poke fun at it a lot. It says that he is dead because it hasn't done anything, you know? So we meet the turtle when Bill and the kid, their kids, and they're fighting off Pennywise for the first time. They're in the sewers and everything like that. And I think, okay, so the whole deadlights and ritual of Chud are very vague in the book. I don't actually know. I think it would be the equivalent of going into the deadlights in the films, but the actual deadlights exist in the macroverse, so nobody actually sees them. And if you did, you'd be dead.
Okay.
Or insane. So what actually happens is it just kind of starts the book starts talking about them floating through space, and it's Bill, and he's yeeting through the universe and passes the turtle, which actually is like super psychedelic looking and would have been an awesome visual at some point, and I'm kind of mad nobody's done anything with it, but it was described really colorful and cool looking, and he just kind of talks with the turtle. He's like, Bill's like, help? What am I supposed to do? And the turtle's like, you just have yourself. I'm not getting into this. And he kind of... The ritual of Chud is mentioned but not explained what it is. I think it's confidence. It's believing in yourself. Because it's kind of makes an appearance in the movies, but the phrase... He thrusts his fists against the post and still insists he sees the ghost. And I hate it because it's made for kids with stutters and lisps, and I have a lisp and it doesn't do me any good. But anyway, so Bill's mom has him say that to try to get over his lisp and stuff. And Bill does not always have a stutter. He usually when he's doing somebody else's voice, like an impression, it stops, and... just kind of certain times when he's hanging around his friends, he doesn't have a stutter. So while he's flying through space, he keeps trying to say this phrase, and Pennywise is screaming at him to stop it. It's hurting him. So he figures out this is what he has to say to get it to stop. Can't remember if he actually was able to do it or not as a kid, because the book just flies back and forth throughout the past and the present, and we don't actually get to the so-called ritual of Chud and fighting Pennywise until we are doing that in the present. And it's very confusing.
I remember you telling me that while you were like in the middle of it, how like whiplash it was going back and forth all over the place.
Yeah, and in the new movies they have Bev doing it and getting I don't think she gets those visions that she had of them dying or whatever in the book. I don't remember how the 90s dealt with it, but no, I think the only people who get into the so-called deadlights in the book were Bill and Richie Tozier.
Mm-hmm.
Richie is, when they're adults, Richie is helping, is trying to get Bill back from yeeting through space. The turtle's dead by then. If it is anything to go by, he choked on some universes or something inside a shell. So now it's just a shell. But there's like still something beyond it, which I guess is God or the creator of these things. Which is kind of what speaks to Bill at the end and says, good job.
Hey, good work, kid.
Right.
Makes you have fucking that clown up.
So yeah, that, as opposed to the new movie that actually made the ritual of Chud into an actual thing,
mm-hmm.
which was more, I can see where they kind of tried to, there was something in the book that it felt derivative of. There's a point where Ben talks about having read about some Native Americans in the West or something and a ritual they do to, it might have been a coming of age thing, where they like hotbox a teepee full of burning green wood. That's not exactly what happens, but pretty much what is. So right after they finish the clubhouse, they're like, guess we're gonna do that to try to figure out what we have to do. And there's a lot of things that couldn't be really developed into a film version is the subtle things where that kind of pushes them to do stuff, which they thought was like the turtle manipulating things. For example, when they go to do that, they want somebody on the outside. So in case, you know, they die of asphyxiation, they can have somebody come in and save them. And Rich, you, I think, implied Bev to do it. And Bev was like, what, because I'm a fucking girl? And like got all upset. And they were like, Richie, the fuck? So they draw matches.
Matches.
Yeah, they have Bev burn one out and put it in the pile. And then they all pick. And whoever has the burnt match has to stay outside. And nobody gets the match until they get to Bev. And she's like, well, no, this one isn't burnt. And they're like, they kind of, well, I think it was mainly Richie or somebody who said, who was trying to imply that she didn't actually burn it, but she has like ash or something on her hands. And then Bill's like, well, guess we're all going down because the turtle wills it, without actually knowing who the turtle is, but you know. So they're all down there, and eventually it's just left to Richie and Mike, and they get the vision of it coming to Earth and that backstory. So that's kind of done in the new movies with Mike spiking Bill's drink.
Yes, he just drugs him.
Right.
He straight up drugs him.
Right. And like, and I think the new movie had Mike actually meeting with a band of people, of Native people.
Yes, that's how he stole the artifact.
Right. So now not only did they completely like throw him under the bus as a kid, but they're also having him commit horrible crimes against the Native community.
Yes. And it didn't even work at the end.
And it didn't even work.
Yeah. So it was like,
that was like that whole actual ritual was completely shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And granted, it is extremely confusing on what the ritual of Chud is even supposed to be and shit like that, but
They call it Chud in the movie, and that's stupid. I'm not going to call it that. It's called Chud. We're calling it Chud.
We're calling it Chud. I don't actually remember how the audio speaker pronounced it. I think he might have pronounced it both ways.
Really?
Chud just sounds better. Yeah. Cannibalistic humanoid. Let's see, what else? Another thing is that the new movies did that wasn't in the books, or really the 90s, I think, is that they had them fighting a lot and kind of being on their own, but that was never a thing in the book. They were always together on things, like they didn't have a huge breakup or anything. Eddie especially was like Bill's biggest fan. he was always down.
Yeah, they did fight a lot in the movies.
Which, I mean, makes it's more realistic,
yeah,
I suppose, to actually give them like personalities.
They're lashing out, they're
And what really like kept them together for a lot of the book was like the turtle influence, allegedly, until they get out and then they're lost in the sewers and they have to have an 11-year-old orgy.
Oh boy, this.
Oh god, since I brought it up, we have to get to that. So yeah, in the book, they defeat it, and unlike either film, he actually like writes them getting out of the sewers and being lost. Eddie's whole thing is that he's really good at navigating things, and suddenly he's not able to navigate well anymore because they're drifting apart or something. Their friendship isn't as strong. I would also like to bring up that this is right after. Well, maybe not right after, but like Bev's dad attacked her.
Yeah.
he's not as overtly creepy as the new movie had him, or the old one either. But Bev's mom is still alive, by the way. She was a nurse, I think. But what he did finally do that led to Bev getting the fuck out of there is that he accused her of fooling around with all of her friends, and he wanted to check her hymen because he knew how to check for virginity, which is disgusting.
Yes.
And terrifying.
That's awful.
So naturally, Bev is like, I know fuck what can bring us all together. Let's all have sex. And oh. Everybody's like, girl, the fuck? But go along with it anyway. And
jeez.
That's uncomfortable. So I don't really want to go further into that. But we know how big their dicks are. Thanks, King.
Again, with the dicks. And with
the yeah, no. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I feel like I was going somewhere with that, but now I don't remember.
No, it's okay. That's all right. It's we addressed it. It's all good.
I like a lot more in the movies where they just have their blood
ritual
going on. That makes sense to me. That also happens in the book, but it's more like an afterthought. And that was more like to seal their promise or whatever. But like it, that is just something that was completely unnecessary in the book. Like,
yeah,
that was, I feel like the whole them losing their bond or whatever was just an excuse to write that scene. And I'm like, the fuck?
That doesn't make sense to me either. Like, you just kick this fucking thing's ass. You think your bond would be like closer than ever? Like, yeah, like you'd feel invincible.
Right. And it's like, part of the cosmic shit to do with, like, when they leave Derry and forget. I think it had something to do with that, but it's, like, not overt or anything, and it's just really stupid.
It's completely
it's
unneeded.
It's dumb. Yeah.
It's disgusting and gross and
necessary.
Yeah. the blood promise, that was enough. That seems like something kids would do, you know, especially in the 50s.
So another thing that's different is the visions that all the kids have, for the most part. Stan and Mike both see a nasty bird in the book in different places. Stan likes bird watching, so I think he saw it as a bird while doing that. And yelling out different kinds of birds helped him. Don't know why. It's very confident about the birds, I guess. And another point in the book, I think he was attacking Bev, and she told it that the Grackles know his name. And that scared him, and I don't know why.
What the fuck does that mean?
It does not like birds, I guess. Which is, it's just very funny, because until the Losers Club, it had never known anything besides eating and killing and sleeping. It had never known fear or anything like that. So it's kind of interesting, or hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then Mike was actually the one to kind of investigate the old ironworks that exploded. And he saw a big ass bird there too. I really like the new version and its interpretation of the visions, because they're actually fucking scary and make sense. The whole Easter, it exploding on Easter for no apparent reason, that was a thing in the book. And a woman finding a child's burnt-ass head in her tree is another thing that happened in the book. And that's kind of, that's better focused on in the new movie, because that's horrifying.
And that's one of the creepiest scenes, I think, in the new one.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah, with like,
the burnt, headless body shambling in the library.
That's one of the strongest scenes, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Like, that and the leper actually, like, gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a much better horror vision than a big-ass bird. You know?
Even like, yeah, even like the original didn't do the bird. They turned him into the, they did the mummy with him in the creepy house.
Yeah, and that is one of the visions in the book, but I don't know why anybody would be. I mean, yeah. Okay, never mind. We have turkeys roaming the streets of Minneapolis, and I have a couple friends who had never seen a turkey in person before, and were like, "Fuck that big ass bird." So, okay, I'll give that to them. Big birds can be scary if you have never seen a large, freakish bird before. But you know what's even scarier? A headless burnt kid!
Yeah. Can I go off on a little, little side thing real quick? But see, that kind of goes into like the whole, like, its final, like, form of the spider.
King spider.
The spider's lame.
Spider's so lame.
It's so lame.
And in the book, it is still, it's just described as a spider.
Yeah, like, and that's how it is in the 90s. About it. It's like a, it's kind of more like a monster spider, but it's mostly just a spider. And then the newest one, it's like
him. Oh, spider.
Yeah. But it's just lame.
So lame. Like, you have all of these, there's so much you can do.
Exactly.
And the whole thing with like Lovecraft is like, oh, it's so, the true farm is so scary, you can't even comprehend it. It's a cop out.
It is.
Get a little creative.
It's like it can turn into anything, and you have like a lot of creative set pieces. Even in the book, the bird's lame, but
the bugs or leeches that attacked Patrick are scarier than the fucking spider.
Yeah. Even one of my favorite things is when it takes the form of like monsters from movies that kids would be afraid of at the time. And they were talking about doing that with the new one where they played around with having them take the form of Freddy Krueger. And it's like, that makes sense to me. Cause like growing up, I used to be afraid of Freddy growing up, you know?
I guess I was a teenager when I discovered Freddy, but I always thought he was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, well, see, I saw like the early ones first, and I'm like, oh, I don't like this. And then I saw him like as Bugs Bunny, you know, like the Bugs Bunny over the top cartoon character type Freddy. I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, I think, I can't remember if A Nightmare on Elm Street was my first one, or if Freddy versus Jason was my first one. So
I saw that in theaters, but I think the first Nightmare is my first one, and that fucked me up.
See, it was ruined for me from the start because of the fucking sheep. Like, the sheep flew by, sheep. And I was like, what the fuck? Okay, we're going off on a little tangent here.
Yeah, we went off. Yeah, I'm so sorry. What were we talking about?
So, Stan's vision was a bird in the book, but in the, I really liked the way they did that in the movie with the creepy-ass painting. Who would own that?
Yeah.
It's what? Like this.
Who would hang that up?
It's like some screen interpretation of a. And that's what I really like about the new movie, is because it really treats the kids as kids. And it's more than just like saying, calling a penis a thingy. It is being afraid of that horrifying picture your parents have in their office.
It does a really good job of capturing like childhood fears and.
Yeah.
Coming of age and all that.
Yeah. And then another vision that was different is they gave Mike the vision of seeing his parents burning. And that was not a thing in the book. His parents were alive and well until I think his dad died when he was a teenager. But like he was a good guy. And there was a lot of relationship that you saw between Mike and his dad, especially.
That kind of felt like them kind of combining it with. Wasn't his dad in the nightclub, the Black Spot?
Yeah, his dad was in Black Spot, and him and I think one or two other people got out in time.
The one was Dick from The Shining.
Which is very cool. I don't remember his name specifically, but I probably wasn't paying attention at the time because I didn't know that until recently.
I forgot until we rewatched it for this, but
That's cool. A cool little thing there. But what's weird is that they also like kind of mention Black Spot in the movies, but they don't go in depth that it was that there's a whole white supremacist gang hanging around Derry and doing shit like that.
They mention it, but then they never really go into it.
Or, yeah, because, like, them, and especially fucking Henry, they don't really go in depth of how horribly racist him and his dad really are, which is probably good, honestly, for the movies, because you don't really want to put a kid through that.
Yeah.
And it's, I personally would rather see a scary clown eat people than a bunch of racist people trying to kill, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Henry and his dad were like full blown, like their favorite word is the goddamn N word. And yeah. The J word, which I didn't actually know was a thing. That's, so thanks, King. That's a new word I learned. So yeah, that, like, and they go in depth about how, like, he was harassing. I think Henry's dad killed Mike's dad's chickens, and Henry, like, lured Mike's dog with food and stuff, and then eventually just gave it, like, poisoned food and tied it to a tree and watched it die. And I'm like, what the fuck?
These fucking kids are awful.
Honestly.
Oh, shit. The Bowers and his little friends, they're horrible people.
Yeah. Yep. The 80s were a different time.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't. Shit's
written in the
80s. Still bad. The new movie doesn't ever, I'm just kind of going down my very random ass notes.
Uh-huh.
But the new movie does, and kind of the old movie too, the 90s film kind of seems like it takes place during the school year, while the whole everything with it kind of started in, well, it all came to a boiling point during the summer. But because the book kind of jumps around between, like, flashbacks of school and stuff like that, it's kind of disjointed. So the 90s kind of tried to stay faithful while not really being very clear. But the new movie definitely made it pretty obvious that everything is happening during the summer.
Yes.
So what it doesn't explain is why Bowers has such a mad on for Ben, especially.
No. Other than he's the new kid.
Yeah, they kind of blame it on him being the new kid. But what actually happened in the book is that Henry was trying to cheat off him on, like, a final or something, and Ben wouldn't let him. And so he unfortunately did graduate, but he had to take summer school. So that is why he has it out for Ben. And then he just is a shitty person to the other people.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. It's never really clear in the movie. It's very jarring, other than to show that Henry's completely
off his fucking nut.
Yeah. Because you get, like, okay, he's a new kid. Henry's a dickhead. He's going to bully him. But, like, the first chance he gets, he's like, I'm going to carve my fucking name into your chest.
Right. Like, dude, what's your fucking beef?
Yeah, man. Like, tone it down. But yeah, it's I can't remember if they went into that in the 90s movie. Miniseries, you could say.
I think there is a scene where he might have mentioned it.
I remember, like, a classroom scene or something. I feel like it was set up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I know I remember one scene with Richie Tozier, why he's, I mean, Rich, they have it out for Richie because Richie has a big fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And I think at one point in the cafeteria, Henry slips on something and he calls them banana heels. So that is a thing that the 90s
got him.
The 90s got right. That was in the book. Another thing, this has nothing to do with Henry, but gray water is kind of like a thing.
It gets mentioned a lot in the new ones.
Yeah, in the book, they get the explanation of what it is from a cop after they make the dam, because,
uh-huh,
you know, the barons are all like this runoff sewer shit, and so the cop is telling them what gray water is, because that water that they dammed came from the sewer.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is gray water. It's piss and shit and stuff like that. And they're like, ew. And the reason why he made them take it down, because that was going into all, like, the drinking water or something like that. It's going into the nature bits or something, and it's bad. I wasn't.
Way to go, kids. Poisoning your community.
They felt so bad. Oh, I forgot to mention it was an Irish cop. So we have so many times we have to sit through fucking Richie Tozier's horrible, horrible fucking Irish cop accent, which I am not doing very well, which is about how well Richie did it.
I feel like you did it better than him.
One can only hope. Yeah, Richie's favorite accents are like his Irish cop, his racist minstrel accent.
Oh, jeez.
And his racist Mexican accent. I think it's based off of a person or character, but I can't remember who. But whenever the person in the audiobook, when he was actually saying it, it sounded more like a... I can't even remember right now, but it did not sound as it was supposed to be. Was like, oh yeah. So I like that in the new movie, they kind of give that explanation to Eddie, because it kind of informs you about his character and how paranoid and everything he is about germs and stuff. Another thing that wasn't in the books that's in the new scene is the whole quarry thing with the lake or whatever, where they're jumping off freaking cliffs into ambiguously deep water.
Yes.
So that was never a thing.
Point, yeah.
And I mean, it kind of honestly felt like a reference to Stranger Things, almost. And I guess it was also kind of, I mean, I guess that's kind of a thing in other 80s movies.
Yeah, that's what I kind of took it as, just like a that typical kids bonding moment, you know, kids being kids, having summer adventures.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I don't know.
Yeah.
The leper scene, I felt was that in the new movies, that was very accurate to the book, I feel. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Although, actually, no, I take that back. Visually speaking, yes. But yes. Thankfully, in the movie, the leper never offers Eddie a blowjob for a dime, a nickel, or a penny. And also, Christ. And it also had like a very long tongue, which you don't really see kind of as a thing until like part two, where they're in the basement with his mom and it starts deep throating her with it or whatever.
Yes. It's getting in there.
Which was also not a scene in the book, but I think it was a good kind of alluding to Chud in a way, because you have Eddie choking the dickens out of this thing, and he's like, it felt small and afraid, so make it feel small. Which is kind of... I guess that's a pretty good interpretation of Chud, because there is no fucking reasoning of what Chud is!
No.
Aside from not speaking with a stutter, I guess.
Can we talk about that scene in the basement real quick? Because you know what I'm going with this.
Please continue.
Okay. So I like the scene. It's a great scene. That whole him going out into the basement, the way it's shot, the set, it's creepy as hell. What is with the music in that part? Because it comes out of nowhere. It's for like 2 seconds. It's just in the morning as it's spewing projectile vomit onto his face.
Hey, God! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! What the fuck?
I don't know. But it's my favorite thing of that.
It is. Like, I'm not knocking it either. Because I love it. It legitimately made me laugh because of how, like, out of left field it came.
Right. It's just it's whiplash.
It is.
In a fantastic way.
I'm like, all right, okay, we'll do this. All right.